Blog Talk Radio.
See the aristocrat pulling rabbits from his hat. Oh, well, I didn't know it worked like that. Sounds great until you do the math. And now people waking up, poking heads out of their stuff. What an expensive turtle shell. It's probably just as well, because ooh, I don't want to be the machine powered by the American dream.
Welcome to the Legacy Forum. This is Robin and Harry Chavry. Tonight, guess where we're broadcasting from? From Moab, Utah. We're here at Susie's Branding Iron in Moab. It's a great restaurant. Susie's had it for a few years now, doing a great job, great food, and Shantae is our lovely waitress. You can call us by dialing 347-677-0699, 347-677-0699, and you can always find us on the internet by going to blogtalkradio.com. If you are a relationship marketer and you want a couple of minutes to tell us about your business, call us, guys. We want to help you and provide a platform for you to advertise. If you have a small business you want to tell us about, we believe in helping our friends live their dreams. Please call us. This show's about giving back and helping those that are making an effort to fully live this gift called life. This country's greatness lies in great people, not large international companies. So let us help give you a shout out. If you ever go to the Arches National Park, our Canyonland National Park in Moab, Utah, just you'll work up a hungry. Trust me. Sure you come by Susie. Thanks again, Susie, for letting us have our show here with you at the Branding Iron. In the coming weeks, you will hear more about the venture with our favorite superstar, Amy Hendrickson. You heard her open the show as she does every week with the machine. We want everyone to know about her project, Local Honey. Okay, so just to let everyone know, once again, Harry rested tirelessly this week and produced another list of information that someone somewhere will find beneficial. So here it is, this week's list of things to know.
Thank you, Robin. I greatly appreciate this. And I got to tell you, I love the sandwich here. But know this, at any given time, 5 people are thinking about this. Know this, 3 out of the most 5 persons die on water. Know this, the New Zealand Church is getting attention. That's what we have a billboard showing Joseph and Mary in bed with the phrase, poor Joseph. God was a hard act to follow. The church said to question the idea of the birth of the nation, the man died. Know this, while Jackson, Alabama, found the body of a beast, the accuser's first name is Anthony Hunt. Know this. Consultant states are more dependent upon federal aid than local aid. Despite the rhetoric and misinformation, Republican states stand the best government while Democratic states reduce or fight the government. It's called simple arithmetic. Health and life at the heart of public service is certain. The Tea Party group, an instant state, $1 tax per cap for every $7 paid to 7 cents a day. In Delaware,
musical entertainment, and this week was especially wonderful. This week there was a group called The Seers, and tonight we have that talented musical group. We have Sean and Ryan just waiting to share with us about their group. But first, I want to play just a little bit of one of their songs. We're going to listen to just a little bit of Front Page. Here we go with The Seers, Front Page. And before I start, I do want to add, this is original music. Anything you hear from The Seers tonight, original music. Here we go.
Oh, that's great. That's called Front Page. Sean, Brian, are you there? John, Brian, are you guys there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
We are here.
I am delighted to have you. We are having a wonderful time. I love your voice, but one of the things that makes me frustrated here for being over the day is you guys have some wonderful, wonderful outfit that I have background studies. Now, I don't know.
Do you want to take it?
I'm having a hard time hearing.
The question was, Brian, if you can hear me, how did we get started? We're so talented. How did we get started?
Sean and I have been playing for 13 years together. We started in 2000, and we played in a couple of larger jam groups for years upon end. And we wanted to be able to have a little more freedom to express our original music. And so in 2009, we formed the Seers. We came up with the band name during a long road trip during the era of another band that we had, Wasabi. And we disbanded to form the Seers, and we do acoustic live music and electric live music for all kinds of folks each weekend locally here in Colorado. And we record all of our instruments, every instrument we play, just the two of us in the studio as well for our studio work. And we do tracking, and we record our original music to the best of our ability with the ideas that we have in our heads.
You play all the instruments?
Yes. Well, Brian plays most everything. This is Sean, and I think Brian's just been we've put in a lot of time. I think there's no real shortcut to getting talented at anything. Brian's been playing for a long time. He's got a great ear, but he's developed his ear.
Brian mentioned you guys were jam for what? The world was a jam. What the jam for? What the world was a jam? Brian, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I'm having a hard time hearing. Sorry, the reception is horrible from where I'm at.
Sean, can you hear me?
I heard something about a jam.
Funeral, tell me what. Brian mentioned a jam group. What is a jam group?
A jam group is a group that plays mostly improvised music. Like the Grateful Dead is the pioneering jam band, where there's a song structure that's somewhat loose, and then it can kind of be improvised around that song structure. So it's kind of a mix between jazz and blues and rock. And we were kind of a southern rock jam band, five piece band. And
go ahead. Sorry. How many people in your band?
In the Seers, it's just the two of us. We've moved to try to, since Brian can play so many instruments and we both work so well together, we've kind of stripped everything down to just be the two of us.
So the tracks I heard on your CD, that's just you two. That's it.
That's just
the two of us. That's Sean on bass and guitars, and that's myself on piano and drums. Obviously, we're in a studio where we can track everything. What we would do is we would lay down the drums first of all, maybe drums and electric guitar or something like that, and then we would just build on top of it. Actually, that one I think started out with the piano and acoustic guitar, and then we put on the drums and the bass after the fact. And we just layered the song until it was complete and added harmonies wherever we saw fit, and everything that was performed on the CD was just the two of us.
Hey guys, I'm going to interrupt just a quick second. This is Robin Button in two things, Sean and Brian. Can y'all hear a little better now?
Yeah, I'm going out front of these apartment units where I'm at right now, and I'm hoping that that makes a difference once I'm facing this.
Okay, because Harry, it was a little loud inside. He walked outside, so I can hear him better. I was just checking. I hope everybody out there in podcast land can hear okay. We've had a challenge as we traveled to find internet and somewhere quiet enough to do our shows. And
So you were inside the restaurant where you're broadcasting from, and now you're outside.
Here he
is.
Yeah.
So
before I turn y'all back loose on the interview, I just wanted to say what y'all were just describing about laying down the different musical instruments was something I knew nothing about because I'm not a musician. But Harry is a big fan of Leon Russell, as you guys know, and that's where I learned about laying down the different musical instrument tracks, because on a lot of his albums, Harry, didn't you say that's what Leon did? And then y'all take it away. I'm going to mute myself back out.
Yeah, one of the things I admired about Leon Russell is, you know, similar to you guys, he would do whole records and albums where it would be him and maybe him and his son playing every instrument on the song. I just found that fascinating. I find the same thing fascinating with you guys, because in today's music world, you know, old people like me, I suppose, you know, we miss the days where it's actually the musicians' music. They write it. They sing it. They play it. And you guys do that with amazing. It's taken you 13 years to get this good. But have you always been musically inclined?
I've been making recordings on ADAT tape, which, if you don't know, it's sort of like a VCR tape. And there's eight tracks involved in it. And there's the recording device in the ADAT is actually digital. It converts to analog video. Well, VHS tape. I started doing recordings on that when I was 18, and that's when I first started doing tracking and experimenting with putting full songs together. And that was in 1998, so I've been doing that ever since. I've been playing piano ever since I was about 5 or 6 years old. And I'm 34 now, so it's been a long time.
Still young, still young. So, Sean, you still there?
I am still here.
So how long have you been playing?
I picked up a little after Brian did. And I actually caught the music recording bug. Wanting to record your music is a little different than wanting to play and perform. There's a lot more that goes into recording. And I kind of got into that around 2004, I guess, when I was about 22 years old. So my dad helped us out and got us into it was a nice amateur studio, and he bought us some time there, and we kind of started doing that. And those recordings are still, they're pretty good, actually. There's some good qualities in them, but, you know, we've been learning, and we're still learning how to, that process of, you know, laying down the drums and the bass and laying down the guitars and making sure everything is copacetic with each other.
So who are your guys' musical heroes? I mean, who do you guys look up to musically?
I've got a lot of classic rock idols. And then, you know, even into contemporary folks like Ben Folds 5. But, you know, a lot of the British rock, Led Zeppelin, The Who, Traffic, you know, Steve Winwood, Derek and the Dominoes, Elton John, Billy Joel, you know, were some of the piano players, of course, that I was exposed to from a young age. Edgar Winter, I think, was another one for me. Leon Russell, I got a chance to see last year right in front of me. He came to the West Fest in Fort Collins, and which is a big event where the Bohemian Foundation pays for a band for everybody to see. For the price of free and it's a pretty amazing festival here in Fort Collins. It happens in August. Last August, I got a chance to see Leon Russell. He was a huge influence for me, so I'm a big, big fan of his as well.
Well, you know, I get a chance. I hear I'm stuttering. I brag on Leon Russell every chance I get, but almost everybody you mentioned that had a musical influence, they were also influenced by Leon Russell. I don't know if you know this, but Elton John is on record for saying that his musical hero is Leon Russell. So, you know, it's a fascinating weave that music lends itself sometimes. So what is your greatest challenge today? You say you've been doing this 13 years. Most people, after 13 years of the business enterprise, would have given up. And you're still playing great. What is your greatest challenge?
Greatest challenge, I think, for me is, and this is Brian Collins speaking, is getting the original music out there, getting the original music exposure. We can play locally weekend after weekend, playing cover songs for people, and we've gotten quite a bit more success in the last couple of years doing that. Getting the original music and writing really good songs that appeal to a massive audience is the greatest challenge that I face.
What do you see, Sean?
I would say having the time to do as much as we want to do and the promotion leg of the whole enterprise, that we can get together and play music and have a great time. But, I mean, we got to, like Brian said, figure out ways to actually do the push of our own music out there. I mean, that's why we're on the show today. It seems like you guys are doing that, or you're trying to get, you know, help people get the word out about what they're doing. So this is, you know, just one of many little things that we do to try to get our music out there.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's tough. So that's the biggest challenge, I think.
Well, I have a friend of mine who works for Paradigm Agency, and Bob was telling me one time that I was asking him, I said, look, why don't you help this young group? And there's a trick. He said he cannot, because he's with such a large agency, he cannot go out and sign people like you until you increase your own popularity. So it's like a catch-22. He can't help you until you get popular, but you need his help getting popular. So I don't envy your task. I really, really don't. So with exposure being your greatest challenge, do you have YouTube videos out there that people can go watch or anything like that?
We do have some, but the quality isn't great, and we have the quality of our music and the quality of our live performance right now is so much more than the quality of the video production that's up there. And so that's what we're working on this summer, is trying to get some videos made of our original music and some videos made of what we can do as a cover band to help promote and get our names out there. But we do have a website and a Facebook page that we're active on.
Uh-huh.
So, and that's at thesearsband.com, SEERSBAND.com.
Okay, now I'm from Oklahoma, so could you repeat that?
It's thesearsband.com, THESEERSBAND.com.
That's the website.
I think that's awesome. I think, you know, one of the things that we try to do is to give back and to help people, whether they're musicians or entrepreneurs, anybody trying to their dream, we want to help. So what is your advice to young musicians? You know, if somebody's just starting out and you already have 13 years of experience, so what can you give to them?
I got something to say before, and then I'll give it over to you, Brian. I think you got to love what you're doing for the sake of doing it. I've seen a lot of bands who have made music to try to, you know, make money, and it just is stressful as hell. You end up hating the people you're working with, and it's tough. So I think the more you can really enjoy the process of what you're doing and enjoy the work of it, the more you're willing to do the work, and the more you end up getting out there.
What do you say, Brian?
I mean, I would say, as far as our live performance, I would say face-to-face contact, you know, but just the old-fashioned method of making a demo CD and going out and And, you know, and if there's a piano at the place where you're trying to get a show, audition live there, you know, and give them your promotional CD and meet them face-to-face and shake a person's hand. It's so much more effective than sending an email with a link to a website or anything like that. It's showing up in the flesh, I think, is a big part of what is, of what has helped us get to where we are as far as our local standard of playing and playing cover songs for people. And of course, you know, you have to enjoy it when you're up there and when you're putting heart into it. If you put that extra notch of passion into it, people notice that. And if it's not there, people are, you become a background fixture in a joint really quick. So you do have to be over the top emotionally, and you really have to be wanting to grab people's attention with what you're doing. As far as with original music, I'm still looking for advice on what to do. I mean, I can't really say, this is where I'm at, and if in order for you to get up to where I'm at with your original music and, you know, your recording and everything else. As far as the production of original music, I would say just keep doing it. Make mistakes. Record a song three different ways. Start out with the drums. If that didn't work, start out with the guitar. That, you know, and keep trying different things. If you're trying to produce your own music and record your own music and layer your own tracking, don't be afraid to record four or five different versions of a song if that's what you got to do to get it to come out right. And don't censor yourself. Record everything. You know, have a way of catching your improvisational sessions, especially when you're trying to write new lyrics and new melodic ideas and new chord progressions. Don't let those things slip by you. You might listen to it later and hear something that you didn't hear when you were creating it all. Record everything you do if you can, and listen to it. Take the time to go back and listen to it when you're done. And really listen to every idea and how it could be expounded upon.
I think that's great advice, and I want to highlight one thing you said, and it's play with passion. I'll tell you why. I have this idea, and if you listen to Leon, you know what I'm talking about. Leon Russell is not the greatest musical singer of all time. He's not, but he sings the passion. He sings with a heart. Lyrics come through, and I think what you said about passion is what people buy. People don't really buy a voice because most people don't have a musical ear, but what people do buy is your message and your passion, and I think you hit it on the head, and I think that's what a lot of today is lacking, is that passion for us right now. Let's have to wrap this up. Before we do, I want you to tell, and remember, I'm from Oklahoma, so you got to tell me three times. Tell us again. Somebody wants to get a hold of you. They want to learn from you. They want to book you. They want to buy your record. They just want to get more of you. How can they do that?
Our website is the best way to get a hold of us.
And repeat it, please.
It is thesearsband.com. So the Sears is THESEERS, like Sears. thesearsband.com.
And the reason we had to repeat that, people, because it's important. Brian and Sean, I appreciate you this evening. I appreciate your music, and I really admire what you guys do. It's entrepreneurship at its finest. So we're going to leave today, and we're going to close this segment with one of your songs. So, Brian, Sean, thank you so much.
We appreciate the chance to speak on your show. Haunted by years and years lived.
John and Brian of the Sears, good people making good music, making this world a better place. Here tonight, we will talk about some people that could be classified as tax cheats. That's right. Tonight, we're going to talk about tax cheats. When this president took office, our country was hemorrhaging money. We were going down fast, and it appeared the Great Depression was coming. But instead, we experienced the Great Recession, completely different than the Depression. Some people forget what was really happening in 2008, while others never really understood it because it was football season and the NFL dominated their thoughts. During that time, almost everyone was yelling for the government to start collecting lawful taxes, to make those people pay that had been avoiding taxes for years. Well, the Obama administration did just that. They went after Swiss bank accounts and offshore accounts people used to avoid paying taxes. After all, most people agree that every American should pay their fair share. Since 2009, the government campaign has collected more than $6 billion in taxes, interest, and penalties from more than 43,000 United States taxpayers. Federal prosecutors have filed more than 100 criminal indictments, including the high-profile case of Beanie's Babies inventor Ty Warner, who last year pleaded guilty to tax evasion involving Swiss bank accounts. The tax dragnet has also swept up many middle-class Americans. living abroad, prompting some people to give up their United States citizenship. While people who renounce aren't free of taxes due from past years, they don't want to risk sizable taxes and penalties for them and their children years ahead. Nearly 8,000 people have renounced their United States citizenship in the past 5 years, compared with fewer than 5,000 in the preceding decade. Experts say the United States campaign to stop tax cheat could affect millions of Americans. Congress has passed laws, and most likely will pass more, that addresses taxes in the middle class. Middle class American citizens abroad are choosing to renounce their citizenship, especially if they have assets and are moving towards retirement, because of taxes, paperwork, and huge potential penalties. More Americans are likely to consider surrendering their citizenship than ever before. The State Department estimates 1 million American citizens live outside the United States, but only a fraction file required financial disclosure forms. Whether they realize it or not, they are tax cheats. They are. Mark Mazur of the Treasury Department, Assistant Secretary for Tax Policy, said the government's new enforcement was intended to help make sure all taxpayers pay what they owe, regardless of where they live. Treasury was looking into how best to work with Congress and the IRS to fine-tune the system. United States officials launched their campaign after Swiss banking giant UBS admitted in 2009 money overseas. And to avoid criminal charges, the bank paid $780 million to U.S. and turned over information on more than 4,400 accounts, ending decades of Swiss bank secrecy. In May, Credit Suisse Group pleaded guilty to similar charges and agreed to pay $2.6 billion. Dozens of other Swiss banks are currently negotiating penalties with the Department of Justice. Following the UBS revelations, the United States officials announced they would begin vigorously enforcing both new and long-dormant taxes. Now, we can decide we can allow these people to avoid paying taxes. We can realize what this administration has done, and that's collected money from people who avoid taxes. For decades, wealthy taxpayers were able to hide foreign assets in countries where bank secrecy laws fostered attractive tax havens, including Switzerland, the Cayman Islands, and even Panama. But the UBS case signaled the beginning of an end for such havens. This is what this administration has done. Armed with information the Swiss bank, the United States authorities pursued individuals for back taxes and pressured tax professionals who helped them. But these violations don't involve unpaid U.S. taxes on wages. The law currently exempts $100,000 of income earned abroad each year. Most of the common mistakes because Americans fail to submit a foreign. Since 1970, United States taxpayers required to file if they held one or more foreign bank accounts totaling more than $10,000 over a portion. Until this enforcement push of this administration, many Americans never filed it. Scrutiny of Americans abroad will intensify. However, under the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, which Congress passed it in 2010, the law's main provision, which will take effect in July, will require foreign institutions to report income of all United States vessels. The U.S. tax code, for example, doesn't recognize Australia's versions of retirement account, but we're going to tax it because that's the law. That's the law Congress passed, and that's the law this administration is enforcing. We have found ourselves in a dilemma. United States citizenship is the most coveted citizenship in the world. To give it up is pretty serious, but people are doing it rather than following the law and paying their taxes.
I love the way we communicate. There is all kind of ways that we can do this radio show. Terry is sitting out on the patio at Susie's Breathing Iron. I'm inside. That way we don't have so much back theme. And we are just, again, happy to be with you guys tonight. Terry's going to come back at you with some self-development in just a second. All I had to talk about for yoga today was just to tell you how much fun I had doing yoga poses at the Arches National Park. I did warriors up in these rocks and on top of things. And I did sun salutations. It was just a fun time at the Arches National Park. There's just something about seeing those stone, those rock formations that just called out green for yoga poses. So that was a whole lot of fun today. And so basically just leaving you with, if you practice yoga, you can practice yoga anywhere, and it makes for some fun pictures. So don't be scared. I fell once today. I think I'm going to make it. Don't be scared. If you don't fall, you're not having enough fun. Terry, self-development, how about it?
Well, first of all, I want to talk about, they can look at these pictures after you post them on your Facebook page. What is that Facebook page again?
That would be Open Road Yoga with Robin. On
beautiful.
The Facebook.
So everybody needs to go out and check her Facebook page, Open Road Yoga with Robin, because I'm telling you, she did some great poses today. And you talk about somebody who's developing themselves. My wife, my lovely wife, has developed the wife of yoga. But I'm going to ask each of you tonight listening, do you want to make a better first impression and create positive feelings that last a long time? Well, I'm going to tell you how. On what you say as much as what you do. First impressions often lead to lasting impressions. You will not get another chance to make a first impression. You know, a lot of people, you tell you, dress better, read more, and ensure that your online presence is respectable, despite what many people would like to believe. The things you say often make an even greater early impression than the things you do. Here I'm going to give you some words and phrases that will help your understanding and your standing in making the first impression. Good. Sir and ma'am. That's it. Sir and ma'am. Our culture is pretty informal compared to many other places in the world, but a little bit of formality can really make you stand out in a positive way. It may not work in every situation, I realize that, but using these titles can be a sign of respect that gets people's attention. So use the title Sir and Ma'am to help. Don't be afraid to say, you're welcome. Sometime in fairly recent history, and I don't know exactly when this came about, but it seems that people stopped saying, you're welcome, and start saying things like, yep, you're welcome, acknowledges that you've done something for someone else's fate. While no problem suggests that it wasn't any big deal. Saying you're welcome means it was a worthwhile favor. And that's an impressive message to send. Another phrase you could use is, here's what's happening, especially in the workplace. If you've ever worked in an environment in which people guarded information like a valuable commodity, you'll appreciate how much affinity you could develop for the few people who try to keep everyone else accurately informed. If you don't want to be a know-it-all or spread rumors, don't. Shows that you're willing to share the information that you have that affects others. Another phrase you can use is, how can I help? Nobody, and I mean nobody, accomplishes anything amazing alone. Thus, with the exception of the sociopath to money, we're all eventually grateful to those who help us achieve great things. I think we're especially grateful to those who proactively try to help. So always be available and say, how can I help? For a similar to that, as I'll find out, it's related to how can I help, but it's even more proactive. It says that you're not only willing to offer assistance, but that you're willing to go out there, out of your way, out there on your own, to do so, to find that, to find the answer. So I'll find out is a powerful phrase. And the follow-up to that is, you better find out. And the last thing I want to leave you with is the phrase, four simple words, I believe in you. I'll repeat that, I believe in you. Henry Ford, that we're told that when he was a young man, he was still an unknown, and he was working on gasoline engines. But a few short words of encouragement from the already famous Thomas Edison, that was a massive shot in the arm for him. It's amazing how just a little bit of validation from other people can inspire people to work harder and achieve more. Four short words can have a huge impact. Never be afraid to tell someone, I believe in you. To get from where you are today to where you want to be tomorrow, something's got to change. Friends, that has earned the right to be there. So remember, people, words are like bullets, and once they are fired, they cannot take back. So be very careful and choose wisely. I hope these words help you get to where you want to be, and I hope they help you live a life of dreams. And, you know, another form that we offer, network marketing. Rod and I are truly, truly firm believers in network marketing. Last week, we spoke of Robert Kiyosaki's four income-producing quadrants. You know, people generally place themselves, and I believe that. They place themselves in one of these four quadrants. Let us lightly examine the topic again. E is for the employee. That's quadrant one. S is for the self-employed. That's the second quadrant. B is for the business owner. That's the third quadrant. And I for the investor, the fourth quadrant. The biggest difference is that two quadrants, the employee and the self-employed, trade time for dollars. We must remember time is limited, and so is the earning system. In the other two quadrants, people have assets to earn their money. For the employees and the self-employed, time is limited. And so the potential to create wealth and the investors have learned to create assets to build wealth. One of the greatest challenges in wealth creation, especially if you are an employee or self-employed, is making enough money now, today, in the moment, to pay your bills, while at the same time creating an asset that can make you money while you sleep and help you create long-term wealth. If you're not earning, people, let me tell you, if you're not earning money while you're sleeping, you will not create long-term wealth. Most Americans are facing that. They need to pay their bills today and create assets to create long-term wealth. That is truly one of the greatest economic dilemmas. The biggest secret is to create a part-time business and build it into an asset. First, it takes some of the immediate fresh cost and allows you to build your long-term wealth the right way. Second, it allows you to stay in the marketplace. And third, it makes your success in your part-time venture even more impressive. For example, if you're in direct sales, the majority of your prospects, J-O-B, just above growth. If you're in the full-time direct sales, people might assume that they could never reach your level of success. But when you're part-time, if it's your part-time venture, it makes your success even more impressive. And most importantly, more relatable. So if you want to be successful in direct marketing, don't quit your day job. Now, at some point in time, if your venture becomes wildly successful, it may be necessary to go full-time, and then, by all means, do it. But remember, people are watching what you do. So starting out part-time is something they can play. But remember, success is not an easy path, and network marketing is many aspects like a roller coaster. Successful entrepreneurs understand the ebb and flow of business, and they understand business is not a marathon. I mean, it is a marathon, not a sprint. So remember that network marketing, direct sales, any business is a marathon, not a sprint. Successful people are persistent about the success. Like earlier tonight, we had on Sean O'Brien, 13 years, and they're not superstars yet. That's the parts of the dream in their sleep. Can best be described and who gives up. Tom Hopkins reminds us, successful people begin where failures leave off. Never settle for just getting the job done. Excel. We believe in you. So don't give up on your dream, and we won't give up on you. You want to learn more? Contact us at legacyforum@yahoo.com. Again, that's legacyforum@yahoo.com. If you want more, you must become the
Weird News.
Well, it is that time again. It is time for the closing segment of our show, Weird News. One of my favorite times. You know, religion can have people do really, really, really weird stuff. The aspect of Scientology, one of the aspects I find very fascinating, Scientology, they ask after your base disposal. Ask Tom Cruise. He revealed that he would eat his two babies for Christmas.
Weird News.
Well, that might sound weird, but if you remember, I delivered a lot of babies. And we did have the occasional request for someone to take their placenta home. It's your property. You can do that. So thank you for joining us this evening. I would like to give a shout-out to Lillian Annette Smith-Graham. She would have been 77 tomorrow. So I would just like to send out a shout to Lillian. Thank you for being such an awesome mom and making this radio show, this Legacy Tour 2014 possible. Thank you for joining us again this evening. Email us at legacyforum@yahoo.com. Now go out there and make somebody else happy.
Forget you. remember your name. Don't feel so bad, she never knew what you had anyway. Right off the front.